What a contrast from last week. Do you remember last week? Man, it was hot. The sun was blaring down on us, and Carol and I made our first of two trips this month over here. What a beautiful drive from Westerville. I think I heard there's a couple of get myself situated here so I can see everybody. I think there's a couple of families that have students at Otterbein. Yes. Someone else, but isn't it something? You come over here an hour and you say the name of a town and all of a sudden everybody said, oh yeah, I know somebody over there and I know this person. And at Russell's Point, what a beautiful spot here to proclaim the word of God this morning. So there was a big contrast between last week and this week weather-wise, but I'm here to tell you there's no contrast in Scripture, because we're going back to the very same Scripture that we were in last week. And I won't ask you what last week's Scripture, well, of course, if you have a bullet in front of you, you know. And so you're putting together between this week and last week. But Galatians 5, 19 through 23. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And what a powerful passage, Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Let's look at the Word of God together here this morning. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, you know, I'm thankful for this, however, the positive side of this scripture as well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there is no law. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning something that's obvious, but I think it bears repeating. Kindness is good. Kindness is good. How many times have I realized that in my life? You know, I can go back four decades. Sophomore year in high school, I was running high school track. I was one of the 3 2-milers on the track team. You know what they do with a kid they don't know what else to do with in track? They make them a 2-miler or a 3,200-meter in today's metric measurement and all that. But I was one of the 2-milers, and I remember it was my first year in varsity track, and we're standing down there on the track. It was one of those old cinder tracks. That's not a whole lot of fun running on cinder. I like the way they've got it set up now. Kids nowadays are really spoiled with a lot of this stuff. But anyway, coach is in a bad mood. Coach Charlie Latimer, I can remember him. And he was one of those kinds where you could tell it would start in the neck. You know, he started just getting red, beet red in the neck. And it would start going all the way up to his forehead. And about the time it hit above his eyes, you know he was going to explode. So you stayed away from Coach Latimer. And it was one of those mornings, because he was spreading lime on the track. You know, they had one of those things with 6 lanes and all those lime buckets, and he was trying to get that thing to work, and it wasn't working. And he was not in a very good mood at all. It was one of those rare moments. And I remember he called out my name, "Hall, get over here." And I thought, what in the world have I done? I guess I'm breathing the wrong way or something. And I go up to Coach Latimer, and he hands me this key ring, and it's got about 50 different keys on it, and most of them are copper keys. Now, you're going to know where I'm going with this pretty soon. And he says, "I can't remember which key it is, but Hall, I want you to go up into the locker room and jiggle around on all these keys, because I want you to get this piece of equipment." I don't remember what it was. And he said, "I want you to, but it's locked behind this door." And so here I'm going up there. There had to have been 30, 40, 50 keys on that ring, and I'm going up there, and I'm kind of jiggling, and one feels like it's going to work. I mean, that thing's going to work. And I thought, wait a minute, if I just apply a little pressure on this copper key, you know what happened? I broke it off. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing, you know what? I'm going to find out what it really means to be on the wrong end of Coach Latimer's ire. And I went back down. Can you imagine the walk back? There's 52 steps down into that great old stadium. And I'm walking down through there, and I'm dreading every moment. And I've got this big key ring, and I'm holding this stub right there in my hand. And I go up to Coach. He's still red all the way up here into his forehead. And I go up to him, and I say, Coach, I broke your key off in the locker room. Well, you know, life has never been the same quite since then. But what actually happened, he just started, I can't even describe what happened the next few moments. If you can't do, sometimes you got to get things done right. You just got to do it yourself. And he's just going on and on. And I'm standing there, and I'm this little sophomore, and all the other guys are standing around. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And he's just off in this tirade. Well, I thought it was over at that point, you know, just kind of get it over with. And some of the buddies and I were out at noon on the lot by the, and we're just enjoying lunch hour, and we're out there just kind of messing around with break and all that. And all of a sudden, as I'm standing there, I hear this voice, "Hey, Hall, get over here." Charlie Latimer's walking back from lunch. He used to live right behind the school there. And all of a sudden, I realize he's going to start in on me again. And the next thing I know, "Hall, get over here." And I saw all these guys going, "Man, he's dead meat. He's dead meat." And I'm going over there, and he takes his big burly arm, and he puts that big arm around me. And I thought, uh-oh, it's over now. It's over now. And then he says to me, as he's walking toward the gymnasium, he says, "You know, son, everybody that played for him, we were all his sons." He says, "Son." And he said something I thought I'd never hear come out of his mouth. He said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Wow, I'm sorry." I didn't know Coach Latimer had a sorry bone in his body. And he kind of just brought me a little closer, like he would do with guys from time to time. He said, "You know," he said, "that wasn't fair, me handing that to you, all those copper keys, and you didn't know." He must have had a talk with his wife at lunchtime. That's the only thing I can figure. But he was in a completely different mood. He says, "Son, don't worry about it. And you're a great two-miler, and you're valuable, and we need you on our team," and all that kind of stuff. And he went on and on. And I went back to the guys, and I can tell you now, if I go back to homecoming, they still don't believe that Charlie Latimer apologized to Larry Hall. But I got to tell you something. When he had that big burly arm around me, and I was wondering what he was going to say next, and when he said what he said, I went away from there realizing a lesson that I've learned over and over again over the years. Kindness is so good. Kindness is so good. You know, if you look at that Greek word in this passage of Scripture, it actually, you know, that Greek word that's translated kindness in these verses here could also be translated generosity. You know, what's interesting about this original word as well is that it was actually a common name, get this, a common name for slaves back in Paul's day, Roman slaves. Kindness was actually a popular name because it was one of the most endearing qualities of a household servant. Everybody wanted a servant that was, above all else, kind. It's benevolence in action. Kindness is really mellow. It's not austere. It doesn't stand off, you know. It doesn't just sit over in a corner when everybody else is over here. It goes to people. It puts his arm around someone and speaks comforting words. That's kindness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I want you to notice three things. You see it in the bulletin. First of all, kindness is our calling. It's our calling. And classic. This is my favorite. Ephesians 4:32. This is classic. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, through God, forgave you. But also I want you to know the 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind. Think about it. Kind, able to teach, not resentful. Friends, we have our marching orders, and one of them is just plain be kind to one another. I want to ask you a question. What do red and blue and purple and brown and green and what do all those colors have in common today? Black? What do all those colors have in common? They are colors that you have worn to this building here today. The clothing colors that you have on. You know, this is kind of an interesting verse as well. Listen to this, Colossians 3:12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's exactly what Father Damien did. There's a place called Molokai. It's a part of the Hawaiian Islands. And people love to go there because of its gentle breezes and its just smooth waves. You know, there's nothing rough about that place. But over 100 years ago, Father Damien went there for a different reason than why people go there nowadays. You see, he went there to help people die. He went there to help people die. Because you see, before he went there, there was leprosy on that section of the island. Back in those days, the government at that time came up with a civil version of segregation, and they sent lepers to that area of the world. I mean, these people lived, they were completely rejected. You know, there was a lot of misunderstanding about that kind of disease, especially back in those days. And so they were deposited there, and basically they were shunned by the world. Nobody wanted to take a chance. You know, the ships would bring in crates of food, and they would lower the food into the water in those crates, and they would hope that the sea would just wash it up on shore. And, you know, so there was always that chance that the food didn't even get to those people. You see, the society sent these lepers a clear message. You're not wanted anymore. We've got to get you out of the way. But Father Damien's message, listen to this, was so completely different. He was working in the area for a whole decade, and he kept looking over at that section and realizing somebody needed to go minister to those people. And so he went to his superior, and he said, "Sir, I want to go, and I want to minister to those people." And that's exactly what he did. He immersed himself in their world. He dressed their sores. He hugged their children. Yes, he even buried the dead. Father Damien experienced a choir of people singing through their rags. He served the bread and the cup to people who had just stumps for hands. He lived with them. He didn't just call them my brothers and sisters. You know what he always said? He said, "We lepers." He just literally identified with them to the point that somewhere in the passing of the cup, the wafers, the hugs, the caring, the funerals, Father Damien also contracted leprosy as well. And on April 15th, 1889, 4 days shy of Good Friday, he died. I saw a picture here recently, and all I can do is just describe it to you. But it's a depiction of Father Damien standing, and There are all those people that are standing around him, and he's embracing a weeping person who just needed someone to give him a hug of kindness. Can you imagine sacrificing yourself at that level? Lepers. He immersed himself. It's our calling, friends. And we see great examples like Father Damien. And I have a feeling that right now, even as I'm preaching about kindness, you're thinking about people who have made that kind of contribution. They've poured themselves into you at this level. You see, it's our calling, but also I want you to notice it's a credit. It's a credit to our ministry because, you see, that's what draws people in. It's kindness. You can read it between the lines of a delightful little song that's come out recently, and many of you are probably aware of this. These are very familiar words, but Josh Wilson comes up with this song called Dream Small. Dream Small. It's a great song. It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world said he could not afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor in a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. It's visiting the widow down the street or dancing on a Friday with your friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things because these simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't bother like you got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are one day at a time. Live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With his great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. Dream small. You know, I wouldn't be surprised that not long after we leave this room, we're going to have a chance. We're going to have one of those simple moments. It's going to come your way. And this will be your chance to be kind. I mean, it may be nothing more than just somebody standing on the other side of the counter while you're getting lunch, and they're going to say something like this, "Can I take your order?" And guess what? In that moment is your chance to shine. Right here in Russell's Point. Right here, wherever it may be. I'm heading back toward Westerville. It might happen in Belle Fountain. It might happen in Marysville. Who knows? Just one of those simple moments. Can I take your order? You see, this is your moment to shine or shun. Can I tell you something? We all get frustrated, don't we? I remember sometime back, I was standing in a line at a fast food restaurant, and this poor guy was up there. And actually, the reality is he was doing a better job than I would have been doing in his situation. But the line was moving slow, and he wasn't getting the orders right, you know. And it's just all those things going on. And I was in one of my high and mighty moments, and I said, "This kid up here, what?" Or, you know, all that. And I was showing not the greatest attitude in the world. And I'll never forget my wife. She looked at me, and she just simply said, "Larry, don't be so harsh. Don't be so harsh. You'll crush that boy's spirit. He's just trying to do his best." How many times has the Holy Spirit used my wife to remind me of a great teaching of Scripture? Just be kind. And I'm so glad, because by the time we got up to the counter, I was able to look at that kid and say, "You know, you're doing a great job." He certainly was doing better than I would have done in that situation. Just learning the... I look at those cash registers and I go, "Whoa, man, I'm just challenged, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff." And here's this kid just standing in there and being a brave young soul. I can relate well to Sam Rainer. Sam Rainer is one of those big speakers that goes around. And he speaks in big auditoriums to all these people. And he's just one of those. He's on the circuit, and he tells a story about how he was standing in a, a ticket line at an airport. Boy, you talk about a frustrating place to be. And he was frustrated, and he just wasn't feeling, you know, he had this place he had to be to speak to hundreds of people, and his wife standing there next to him, and he's showing his impatience, and it's coming through. And somewhere during a break in the action, I love this, his wife looked at him, and it was like the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, and I quote, "You better watch your attitude, honey, because you might hinder God's work by being a jerk." You know, that's good theology, isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit coming through in our lives. But you see, kindness brings credibility to all that we're doing here. And you know, the truth is, if I'm not kind out there, this doesn't count for anything in here. I might as well save my breath and stay over there in Westerville and go hear some other preacher preach somewhere. But I'm here to tell you that when we walk out of here, there's a great opportunity to be his missionaries just by being kind to people. You know, Barnabas is a great example from the New Testament. Talk about somebody who is appropriately named. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And there was a great revival. There were people getting saved down in a place called Antioch. And the church fathers, they had so much confidence in Barnabas. They said, "Barnabas, we want you to go down there and see what's going on." And so he went down there. And I love these words from Acts chapter 11. Listen to this. "When Barnabas arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts." And here's the part that challenges me. "He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord." Wow. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. See, he was a good man, this Barnabas, filled with the Spirit, was this man. And here we actually have another fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's goodness. Someone defined it this way. Someone has said that goodness is kindness energized. Kindness in action. Just doing good. Speaking good. Wherever we go. Now, I felt the energy in a recent leadership Champaign County. You know, I recently finished up my pastorate at Urbana. And my first year there, one of our members who's very much involved in community got me involved in a thing called Leadership Champaign County. And it's through the Chamber of Commerce. And when that was over, they had an opening on their steering committee, and so ever since then, I just kind of served on the steering committee, and we had different things like Economic Day and Education Day and History Day, and there was another pastor and myself in town. We headed up what's called Quality of Life Day, but at the end of every year, they would have a graduation from Leadership Champaign County, and during that graduation, just a couple of months ago, the last one I was able to be a part of, this one group, that every group had to do a kind of a project, and this one group brought in a 90-year-old resident from Van Crest Nursing Facility in Urbana. I believe her name is Anna. She came in, and I mean to tell you, this woman brought the house down. She got up and she started talking, and she kept talking, and she kept talking, and finally they had to just kind of say, "Thank you." But all through there, she had one theme that she said over and over again. This 90-year-old looking at all of us, and she kept saying, "Be kind the rest of your life." Now, I think when a 90-year-old says that, there's probably something to it. She kept saying it over and over again. Be kind the rest of your life. What a great idea. But I want to add to what Anna said that day, made possible through the fullness of God's Spirit. Get that, friends. We aren't necessarily naturally inclined in this direction. At least I know I'm not. Holy Spirit, so fill me with your kindness. Your kindness. You see, he's our influencer. He's our teacher. He is why we believe that kindness is our calling. And it's a credit to our ministry. And finally, I'm glad to be able to say to you today, it can happen. It can happen. The pressures are out there. The influences in the other direction are all over the place. But you see, we can have such a wellspring of his presence. It's going to make a difference in our world. A real difference in our world. Let's stand together as we consider his truth here this morning. I think maybe the worship team has something that they want to present to us. And even while we're just standing here in these moments and we're thinking about these things, I do want to remind you there is a prayer area off here to the side. If you feel like you need to pray about the truth that God is presenting, you know, the Holy Spirit is, you know what, one thing I love about preaching is that every once in a while I'll have somebody come up to me at the end of the service and they'll say, you know, that really got me when you talked about that. And I'm standing there and I'm going, well, I don't remember ever saying anything about that. And then I'm reminded, guess what? He is the Holy Spirit teaching us and saying things that this guy didn't even think of. Maybe he's doing that for you right now. And there's a prayer area over here. We'd love to pray with you. I know there's prayer ministry people here. And we'd love to pray with you before we leave this building. But as we're praying and singing together, allow God to move in your heart. Father, I guess I'm just reminded of a passage over there in Titus that talks about, it describes life before Christ where it says, we live in a world of being hated and hating one another. Boy, Lord, if that doesn't describe our day. But then the scripture goes on and said, being hated, hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his great mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for your great kindness. Nothing good have I to bring. Only to the cross I cling. Thank you for your kindness. Lord, I pray that you would fill your people with that same loving kindness. Because Russell's Point needs that. Westerville needs that. And all the places we've ever been need that today. Have your way in our hearts as we consider your truth and we respond ways you would have us respond. Thank you, Lord, for the music that draws our hearts closer to you. Have your way. Amen.